Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks at Asbury Park style. Well, here we are again today. Before you know it, I'll have 3 years under my belt in broadcasting, which I love. My show, as you know, is about childhood memories and how they influenced you to becoming who you are today. I have a very special guest tonight, and I'm going to say right off the bat, because we're going to be talking to someone who has a brother that I already interviewed, and I'm interviewing Mr. Kyle Mumford today. Hello, Kyle.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm terrific, thank you. And I interviewed your brother Quincy a few months ago, and that was very pleasurable. And I just want to get it out there to and over with that we've had a family connection for so many years because my favorite sister-in-law in the whole wide world has been with your parents at their wonderful, fantastic gourmet restaurant called Mumford's. And I believe it's Tinton Falls, correct?
Is it Tinton Falls or Shrewsbury?
I never know.
No, it's Tinton Falls.
Because my sister-in-law lives like right around the corner practically, and I've eaten there many times. So, and then my niece Kristen was also assistant manager there. So we go way back, way back. So, Kyle, we're going to just start the interview right away because we only have a half an hour and it goes like speed of lightning. Kyle, I wanted to ask you first off, who inspired you the most while you were growing up, and why?
If I could say, it's harder to pick one person. I mean, I could depict probably three, if that's cool. The first person that comes to mind that inspired me right away as a kid was probably Michael J. Fox, oddly enough. He does inspire me, yeah, because I grew up loving his movies, and I'm a filmmaker. I live in New York, and watching Back to the Future as a kid just tapped me right into, living in a fantasy world or creating my own world and loving story and storytelling, and it just flew right into that. That's probably one of my biggest childhood inspiration, and obviously that's changed over the years in context. But as years went on, it later on became my my mother and my father for just knowing how hardworking people they are and what they did to raise me and what they went through, especially my father, and who they are as a person, kind of a working class family and that mentality, and how they taught me that and passed it on to me.
Those
are the three people.
That's fantastic. I just want to, I was remiss in saying, introducing you as Kyle Mumford, writer, director, and filmmaker, and all of that. And of course, it was promoted everywhere in the world. And I, speaking of Michael J. Fox, yes, I am a huge fan myself. And of course, his movies are, how can you forget them, especially as a child? Like, I've got several years on you, but even I was so impressed with his early work and continue to be impressed with him and what he has accomplished in his lifetime. Your family, as well, are really so creative. I mean, it's just amazing what your dad has done with the restaurant and with all of, I've been around for a while, and so I know that, all the ingredients are just so fresh, and that he does the organic gardening, and your mother is the most wonderful baker, and it's just, I could eat there every day. If I could afford to go there every day, I would just go, and I would probably get all my meals there. Getting back to you and your talented family, the first, and then, of course, you're going to talk again, because I get into this talking too much. Everybody knows it, and so listen. Oh, in fact, I'll just tell you. I start telling people. Just say, excuse me, hello, Nancy. But the first film, the first documentary or video, I would call, the first video that I saw of yours actually was, of course, animation, and it was about, I believe, having to do with the war. And I sent it over to, I think so.
Was it
was one of Quincy's songs. It was years ago.
Oh, was it Bring 'Em Home?
Yes.
His song,
that's
Bring 'Em Home.
I didn't remember the name, but I remember that you did it for your brother, Quincy. And I just thought it was so wonderful. The song and the video was so great. That's when I discovered you as a videographer. And I sent that. My niece, Amal, was actually going to school in Egypt, to the University of Cairo. And I sent that video. I promoted that video for you. You don't, unbeknownst to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I sent Kyle a message that I did. But I promoted it all over to my friends and to the groups here. And then I sent it over to Amal, and I put it on her Facebook page in Egypt, so that a lot of people got to view that. To view that video. So now tell me, going back, I mean, how this has progressed from that video, and I don't know, like, you know, if that was your first video, your fourth or your fifth, but, you know, start with your videos and how you ended up now doing full-fledged, full-on films and documentaries and things like that.
Well, it really started when I was 16. I started with stop motion animation because I had no actors and I didn't know how to hire an actor or any of that. So it started that way, and my animations, my miniature shorts got me into school visual arts, where I really expanded upon other topics like music videos and documentary narrative films. And actually, the song you're referring to, the music video that I directed and created with my brother and as well as two others, Kevin Kane and John Liederstorf, who was my brother's producer at the time. And we kind of created that idea, and I brought in the crew and I directed it. And it was, I didn't think we knew the power of the video, and it was right after college. I don't think we knew the power of the video until actually it was completed.
Was that four years ago, or how many years ago
was
that?
It was 4 years ago, yeah.
That's what I thought. Yes.
And
yeah,
it
was great. It was great. It really touched me. It really did.
It just, you know, Quincy's song was touching, and I think what really got it is we really wanted to establish different parts of America, and, you know, with a simple idea. And in this case, it had to be with shaving a beard, and we wanted a twist. And which we got a twist at the end. And I don't want to reveal too much of it. I'd rather people just maybe, you know, Google or YouTube it.
Right.
You know, Quincy
Definitely.
Mumford, Bring 'Em Home. But, yeah, the response we got was really great. I wish it got out there a little bit more. I always feel like it's kind of a still hidden gem, so to say. But it's still very powerful and effective.
Well, that's okay, because it's never too late. Once something's created like that, I mean, sometimes I feel that way as well about my CD that's been on Reverb Nation consecutively. I have a song that's been in the top 10 country consecutively for almost 3 years now, and I think, get into the studio and do some more. But I'm definitely into broadcasting, and I've kind of let my music go to the wayside. But listen, Bring It is the name, because when this goes up, this broadcast goes up on my Facebook page, and I will re-promote this, and this will go everywhere. I'll share it. This video is going to go, our interview rather, is going to go everywhere. It's called Bring It Home. Is that the name of the video? Bring 'Em Home.
Bring 'Em Home by Quincy. It's like, it's Bring and then M, like them, but it's M is like, you know, initialized like E-M. And then
is it
home.
E-M or just M?
E-M.
E-M, right, Bring 'Em Home. Okay, because I'm going to mention that. And where can people see it? Because I'm going to mention it in my promo, promo in the comment section.
You could find it on my brother's YouTube page, Quincy Mumford.
Quincy
YouTube,
I'll do that.
Or my website, kylemumford.com.
I'll put KyleMumford.com because that's what I'm going to put, KyleMumford.com. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, because like I said, I was so impressed. I said, oh my gosh, I have to promote this and I have to send it to Amal, who's in, you know, because her actually father at the time was in Saudi Arabia too. So it went to Saudi Arabia and I had friends all over the world. So everybody got it. It was in Italy and it was in Spain. It was in Brazil. It was like, you name it. It was everywhere. Yeah, that's what I do. They call me the promo queen. You know, when I see something and I love it and I like it, it just goes. So, okay, back to you. And I do have a question. I really enjoyed your bio. I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. This was so catchy. I wanted to ask you about Mumford's Law, and I really like that. I wanted to ask you about that documentary because I've never seen that either. And you were nominated for the Heartland, Film Festival, a grand jury prize. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the funny thing is I actually, that film never premiered it never screened at Heartland. The reason being is because we were just having trouble with the Greenses and the family at the time, because it's a very personal tale about my father's life and my family.
Okay.
And it drags me into it, but it's, you know, it tells a heart-daring story of, you know, the troubles that I documented my father's life for about 5 years. And, and it really followed him of him sharing slowly his past before I was born, where I am, and where he is now. And, things that a son finds and discovers about his father that he never knew. And things that a son would need to hear about his father that he never knew that would touch, move, and inspire him to be who he is today. I was having a lot of trouble and going through really deep depression issues and a lot of different things. And I eventually had a camera and turned it on my father. And little by little, he brought me he got me out of the trenches. Or the holes
it sounds,
I was myself in.
I don't mean to interrupt, but it sounds like a great movie to me. Because that is what this is all about. I'm getting little chills. Because that's what this is about. And that's why I do what I do as far as broadcasting and getting into people, getting to know the real person, interviewing them on a personal basis. Of course, people don't have to tell me anything personal that they don't want to. But I love your being really honest and open. And I feel you. I'm sure our audience is hearing you. And, you know, I commend you. I commend you on it. I think it's a great idea. And I would still continue to pursue everything that you've done in the past.
Oh, thank you. It's so funny. You know, part of the documentary, I actually talk about my own issues that, my own issues that I had and that my father kind of, you know, cured and helped me enlighten by, you know, him sharing his tale. I like endearing stories, stories of people, you know, something that's inspirational, something that could really, touch, move, and inspire somebody who's watching it, and
absolutely
from the screen. Yeah,
that's what it's about. When I watch on demand, I go for the, you know, based on true, you know, events. That's what I want to see. I want true events. I mean, of course, I love like fantasy and things like that too. And you know, I love what you do with the animation and everything. But you know, true stories that inspire people. That's what I live for anyway. So I've seen many, and I have interviewed other people that do documentaries. But we'll get to that if we have time, if and when we have time, because this is about you and what you do. So from there on, when did you move into New York City?
Well, I moved to New York when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
I moved here and I never left. Yeah. So I've been here for quite a while, but it's I went to School of Visual Arts here.
Right. I saw that.
And I work here in the film industry. So it's fun. it's, you know, film and, you know, commercial industry. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, really.
I myself went to New York right out of high school. 3 days after I graduated high school, I was in New York with my aunt and uncle and lived in Queens, and I commuted and worked in Manhattan. And then years later, I lived in Weehawken right off the river a block away, and I worked in Manhattan for like 8 years. So, yeah, I know the city. Wow. The city is where it's happening for sure, definitely. And all right, so we're getting up. I'd like to, you to tell me about your experience with MTV and all of that, because I didn't really get to, you know, hear a lot about that, and I'm so interested in the music end of it, being a musician.
Well, MTV was a short, brief thing. It was the summer after I graduated college, and I just worked for them for a little. I mean, I was shooting and editing stuff for them. For me, when I worked there, it was very corporate. It wasn't the music television I kind of grew up with, which I guess, you know, was one thing. But, I mean, it was a job at a school. And so it was a good job for, you know, that summer I graduated college, really.
And good experience. And plus, you've already had the experience with your brother, who's, like, so phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think really a lot of the experience came from after that, when I became working locations on studio and television film, you know, films and studio films, doing locations, helping out with the location team, with managing locations that things were shot at, and then also editing, doing commercial editing, and I got back into performing to help the writing. So it's a bunch of things that the experience really expanded, I think, much more after MTV, really.
Right.
Just what I was wanting to do.
Right, right. Well, everything, you know, one thing leads to another. I think there's a song, one thing leads to another. And experience that you have, you know, you build, it's like building blocks. And before I forget, I have to tell you, a nice compliment that you received, that photograph of you that I used, your profile photo that I used for the promotion, is really a really nice photograph, by the way. Whoever took that black and white, the photo credit should go to. Yeah, go ahead.
An old friend of mine named Chris Caffaro took it. The photo is really old at this point, but I like to say things haven't changed, really, which is good.
It's very, very nice. I'll tell you what somebody said. Looks like a really young James Dean to me. Did you see the comment?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. All the girls, I'm sure. You know, I mean, you know, I promoted on Jersey Girl. I mean, in the group pages alone, I guess, I think I told you already, like maybe 250,559 people get it. That's only in my groups. That's not friends. That's not radio stations. That's not Europe. That's not anything. That's just, and so I'm sure all the girls are going, where's this guy? It's an excellent photograph, very handsome. Both you and your brother have got the looks. I can say that because I'm a grandmother. I've got, like, nieces, and I've got children probably your age. But anyway, I'm not shy about it. But, I have not really met you personally, but I certainly have met your brother many times and your parents. I've met your father many, many times every time. Because I used to stop in the restaurant on Wednesdays. I'd be up there going to a women's group of mine that I attended, and it was right around the corner, so I'd stop and have coffee with Michelle, who I adore. But getting back to your work now, so what are you doing, like, right now? I think when we got on the phone, you told me that you had been working, and it's so hot out there today. If it's 95 in New Jersey, it must be 100 and something in New York City. You said that you had been working all day, so you want to tell us about that?
Well, inside, so.
Oh, good.
Mostly,
air conditioning.
Yeah, well, kind of. I'm a little cheap, so I have the windows open. There's a nice breeze going in and out. So, but
that's
as soon as my roommate comes home, I think that might change.
okay.
Well, what I'm working on now is I have a few things. I've really been embarking on a lot of different things with writing, and I recently I have two short films. One is finishing up its round in film festivals. It's been going around film festivals, and I think it's about to, you know, come home and hopefully find a small distribution, which I believe we have interest right now for, which is rare because a lot of films don't have, I mean, a lot of short films don't have distribution. So I was lucky enough to hear something or an interest for it. And then I have this other short film that is based on a feature project in which I wrote. And we are about to picture lock it, which means we are, the edit's about to be finished and we're about to go post sound mix and color correction. And
great.
That's very exciting because it's been a very long, long journey with this project. It's based on a feature, like I said, which I wrote. And it's about a down and out writer that gets a second chance to be somebody by meeting his estranged young son and having to drive the boy to a funeral. And it sounds, it's a dark comedy. It really is
These
two odd people getting to know each other on this road trip and or this journey together. And I think it does a lot of it really embarks on it jokes a little bit with me because I'm dyslexic and I'm a writer and the character's dyslexic and so he struggles
Join the club. I think I hate to interrupt you. I dislike that word. I dislike interrupting. Mm-hmm. However, it's still after like graduating from Toastmasters, one of my faults. And I'm a writer, and I should know. And I've been broadcasting. I should know better. But a lot of creative people are dyslexic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. I don't know. But that's what I've heard. So, yeah, it's challenging.
It is.
But
and,
I saw a snippet. I think I saw a little snippet. You have something on Facebook about a fund. Aren't you taking a fund to complete this?
We did a crowdfund back in March to finish it. And the film it made its mark. It really got to where it needed to be. And so, yeah, we now it's funded all the way, and so we're all good. We're successful with that.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So it's good. In the meantime, I'm, you know, finishing up the feature project that's attached to that, written, and then I have another project I'm writing. And so we'll see. And then I have another video, interesting video project, which I think you might enjoy hearing about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk away.
Well,
if you want to. I mean, a lot of times you want to keep things quiet. You know, you don't want to divulge everything. You want to keep some things a mystery.
No worries, yeah. I mean, I can say it right away. The other video project I'm working on is just something fun, like we're talking about inspirations and, you know, being dyslexic. And when I was younger, I was told that I was diagnosed with OCD, ADD, dyslexia, and Tourette. And there's a lot to it. I was going to tell this, it's actually explained in the documentary, but I didn't share it, and I actually wanted to get a chance to share this. But it was when I was younger, my parents were told by doctors that I would be a problem or a hassle. I wouldn't amount to much. In later years, I was severely bullied and ridiculed for my art. And then even when I even had a manager at one point who told me that I was not a good writer and I never will be. And,
people are so cruel.
Well,
wrong,
you know,
most of
people...
the time. Okay, now I have to interject something. You know Ray Anderson, mm-hmm. the musician?
Yeah.
Ray Anderson, I just interviewed him, you know. Don't you know, I mean, that's why you worked with him. You did his video, right?
Yeah.
Ray Anderson, the bullying video? Yeah, yes, that's how I came across, oh, I've got to get in touch with Kyle. That's seeing how one thing goes to another, because I've seen Ray many times, and I didn't really know that he did, you know, that he did mostly, like, songs for children, and that he was into bullying. And we share very similar things. I was, oh, we see, we could talk forever and forever, wish this was an hour show. But I was also very young and told that to my mother in front of me by a nun. Oh, Nancy's a feather brain. It was because I couldn't see the blackboard, and they had me way in the back. I'm farsighted. You know, I mean, I would say had me way in the front, because I was also like OCD, and I was like, you know, always hated school, you know, and making a big, you know, always disruptive, you know. Oh, so what? Look at where you are today. But that bullying, that has a lasting impact on people. And then you have to, like, get over it. And you know what I say now? I say, well, that made me stronger. Thank you very much for that. And then I add a little expletive that I can't say on the radio.
No, I mean,
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, Kyle.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, you can relate to this, but one of the things is that I decided, you know, I wanted to make a video sharing my story of what I was told I wouldn't be or couldn't be and what I'm doing now. And then as I create this little viral video of my share, I would tag three or more people who have similar stories and what they were told they wouldn't or couldn't do and what they're doing now. And they share the story, and then they tag three people, and those three people share what they were told they wouldn't be and couldn't be and what they're doing now. And those three people tag three other people.
Fabulous.
And it goes on, therefore. So it's this kind of empowering way. I really want to make a video spread of, you know, really to empower people and being self-expressed, fully self-expressed.
Why three people?
You know,
how about five?
Yourself,
how about five or six people? How about 10 people at a time? It's like pay it forward. Actually, it's network marketing.
Well, yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
Thank you.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean,
I do. I think it's a. Oh, come on! I was being told. I was called. I went to school. I went parochial school. I'm on one corner. The other kid's on the other corner. I'm maybe in second grade. People are calling me. Oh, in the rain, I'd have like rubbers on. They called them in those days, like rubbers. I wore horn-rimmed glasses, and I would have a raincoat on, a rain hat, and an umbrella. And I'd have these public school kids. They'd be calling me. Four Eyes, hey Four Eyes, hey Freckleface in the summer, hey Freckleface Nancy, oh please, I got a Jersey attitude real quick, I grew up in Asbury Park, I had an attitude, but I couldn't show it because I was really afraid, you know, it just did impact me, so I love it, I'm interviewing people that are so honest and open like you are and have been, I thank you so much for that, that helps so many people. It really does.
Well,
and, you know, Ray's,
sure.
Ray's interview was so cool, too, because it was the same thing. Like, we had a lot of things in common, and that's what my show is about, is getting people, like, evoking in other people, like, their childhood memories, and you know, overcoming them and moving forward. And, you know, you have a huge success story to share with people. And I do, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that you really, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to make it come off as one of the things as of just bragging about what you're doing now and say, you know, I show you. It's not really for that. It's really what I'm trying to
that.
Do is to really, you know, people watch something, feel empowered, and to be fully self-expressed. To take a risk and actually share their voice, because, you know, you never know what happens when you open your mouth. And really, you know, when a person tells you you can't do something, you know, it's just them telling you that. It doesn't mean it can physically. You don't really know if you can physically do it or not. Whatever they're saying that you can't do.
Right.
I mean, if you really strive for what you believe, and I think that's what, you know, why my father is such an inspiration. Same with my mother.
Right.
It's the same thing with Michael J. Fox. It's really because as I got older,
against
the context
all
of who
odds,
they are
against
changed.
All odds.
Yeah.
It's persistence, and it's just that burning passion. It's the passion inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the passion that drives you and the never give up. And I think that, you know, maybe we need, in a way, I know it's all anti-bullying and all that, but sometimes these people propel us into really doing things that maybe we wouldn't have done. It's like, oh, I'll show you all right. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right, I can't do it. Okay, just wait and see. Just watch me. Because I've had that too, even in adulthood. They ain't going to like you, because they're not really buying music that much anymore. You got a tour. But it's like, you know, I was told, you ain't going to get that country music into Asbury Park. Nobody's going to like that stuff. And, you know, I just interviewed Nikki Breyer, you know, last night. She's opening for, like, Tim McGraw. And it's like, you know, I mean, you know, and I did my CD, and I did my, and I'm doing broadcasting, and I'm, you know, have a successful show. And it's like these, and it's all for fun and for free. I mean, I'm retired. I've been retired for a long time. Enough about me. This show, and thank you so much for adding so much to my show and being a guest, because this show is to evoke in others, like, you know, to have them think about their situations. You know, you're sharing your most intimate life with other people, gets them thinking about their life. And I used to always say, like, if I had a bad day, I would think about going down to Asbury, or I'd be in Asbury anyway. I went to Asbury Park High School and all that. And I'd go down to the merry-go-round, and I'd go on the merry-go-round. Even as an adult, I loved the merry-go-round. And it would instantly change my point of view. And I was a loner growing up, too. And it's like, so... You know, I was big into sweets, so I'd have a dark chocolate, like a chunky bar when they had them. They're not as good as they used to be. Oh, well, I'll have chunky bar suing me. But listen, I would have a nice piece of dark chocolate, and that would, like, give me the endorphins and change my mood, and I would get, because, you know, difficult times, we all have them. Life is difficult. So,
yeah.
With that, and I want to end it on a great, great note, I want to say that this has been a really wonderful interview.
Great.
I've learned a lot about you, and you're more about, you know, your wonderful family. And I want to just, I'm going to just go through my nonprofits. Everybody, just to go to KyleMumford.com and check this man out, because he is doing wonderful things. You've got to go, and you've got to see his, you know, bring them home. This is so important, right, still, from when they did it 4 years ago till today and forever. That was just a wonderful, inspiring video. And his brother, Quincy Mumford, was the songwriter and the performer on that song. And I'm going to end this with my nonprofits that I do. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Kyle Mumford, for being on Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. And my nonprofits that I've been promoting for since I've been in broadcasting are, and I usually do them in order of how they've been on my show. I've met them all. They're wonderful people. Are Minister Steve, Tent City, Helping Hands of New Jersey, the Nixons. They're going to go out of order now, I'm sure. No, Allison Saho, who's City of Angels. It's a radio recovery program. And then I've got the wonderful Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. And I just interviewed Carlos Rodriguez, who is the director of the Monmouth, Ocean County, Monmouth and Ocean County Food Bank. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, dang, Nancy, you did it, and you're not even reading it. Wow. And I could never memorize in grammar school. That was a big thing when I was in school. You'd have to memorize paragraph after paragraph. I'd stand up. They'd go, oh, read paragraph 4. And I'd go, duh. Oh, I don't think so. But in any case, oh, that's my memory. I was like, oh, I won't call them penguins. But, you know, the nuns, they were tough on me. But I was a singer, and I was in the choir, and that's where I got my joy. So there's always the flip side. And I choose to be on the sunny side of the street today. It's been a wonderful, wonderful interview. I want to wish everybody a great evening. Until next time, I'm signing off. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan Rocks It, Asbury Park Style. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.